Good afternoon. It is now 1:02. My name is Miguel Bustos, and this is a regular meeting of the Commission on Community Investment and Infrastructure, the successor agency commission to the San Francisco Redevelopment Agency, for Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. Welcome to the members of the public. Madam Secretary, please call the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first order of business is item one, roll call. Commission members, please respond when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett?
Present.
Commissioner Scott?
Present.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Present.
Chair Bustos?
Present.
All members of the commission are present. The next order of business is item two, announcements. Item A, the next regularly scheduled meeting will be held on February 4th, 2020 at 1 p.m. at City Hall, Room 416. Item B, announcement of prohibition of sound producing electronic devices during the meeting. Please be advised that the ringing of and use of cell phones, pagers, and similar sound producing electronic devices are prohibited at this meeting. Please be advised that the chair may order the removal from the meeting room of any persons responsible for the ringing of or use of a cell phone, pager, or other similar sound-producing electronic device. C, announcement of time allotment for public comments. Please be advised a member of the public has up to 3 minutes to make pertinent public comments on each agenda item, unless the commission adopts a shorter period on any item. It is strongly recommended that members of the public who wish to address the commission fill out a speaker card and submit the completed card to the Commission Secretary. The next order of business is item three, report on actions taken at a previous closed session meeting, if any. There are no reportable actions. The next order of business is item four, matters of unfinished business. There are no matters of unfinished business. The next order of business is item five, matters of new business consisting of consent and regular agenda. First, a consent agenda, item 5A, approval of minutes from regular meetings of November 19th and December 17th, 2019. Mr. Chair.
Madam Secretary, are there any speaker items for this?
No speaker cards.
Cards for this item, nope. Okay. Is there anybody here from a member of the public wishing to speak on this item? Hearing and seeing none, I will close public comment and I will turn to my fellow commissioners for any comments, questions, or motion.
No comment. I move approval of the minutes for November 19th and December 17th, 2019.
I second that.
All right. So we moved by Vice Chair Rosales and seconded by Commissioner Scott.
Commission members, please announce your vote when I call your name. Commissioner Brackett?
Yes.
Commissioner Scott?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rosales?
Yes.
Chair Bustos?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, the vote is 4 ayes.
Thank you. Please call the next item.
The next is the regular agenda, item 5B, workshop of the recognized obligation payment schedule for July 1st, 2020 to June 30th, 2021, ROPS 20 through 21 discussion. Madam Director.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The item before you is informational. Pursuant to dissolution law, we're required to submit a recognized obligation payment schedule to the Department of Finance on February 1. As such, we're required to also, and we've voluntarily done a workshop for the Oversight Board Committee last week, and we feel it's ideal for us to do an informational item for the Commission, understanding that this is the first of many phases and that we will come through the Commission as well when we put our budget together pursuant to the city's budgeting process. As part of the hearing, and Mina Yu would be presenting on this item, this would be a nice, a public setting so that the community can also hear what the budget will look like, knowing there's going to be extensive review and work and some adjustments to it. This is always the higher limit. And then as we work through a budget, which is due to the board, I believe, for the controller and the mayor to submit to the board on May 1, we're the May 1 department, because they have some departments that are May 1st and some that are June 1. You would have an opportunity to kind of inform this. So any feedback you have, we'll take that into consideration and work through the commission, the oversight board, to incorporate. With that, I'll turn it over to...
Thank you, Director Sese. Good afternoon, commissioners, Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales. Again, my name is Mina Yu. I'm the Financial Reporting and Management Analyst for OCII. We're here today to present the workshop on the recognized obligation payment schedule for 2021. I'll provide an overview and discuss details of the administrative portion of our ROPS request, while our project managers will come up and discuss their work plans and their Rob's portions throughout the presentation, and we'll take questions at the end. So as you might recall, there are five funding sources for the ROPS, the first of which is bond proceeds. We have reserve funds, which includes prior year property tax increment for our current year use. We have other funds, which encompasses developer payments, grants, and other funding sources not captured in the four other funding sources. We have our Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund, or RPTTF non-admin, and we have our RPTTF admin, which is set by formula. So our total request for 2021 is $422.2 million. This table shows a breakdown amongst our five funding sources. RPTTF non-admin at 185.3 is the largest source, followed by bond proceeds at 184.9. So this table shows a year-over-year comparison to our current year to our requested 2021 ROPS. We're requesting a decrease of $23.6 million, and this is largely driven by spending down on our bond proceeds in our project areas, followed by the reduction in our pledged RPTTF non-admin for housing. So within our RPTTF non-admin, we have the housing pledge, which is 20% of the gross increment net of our pass-throughs to the taxing entities. And in the prior year, we requested the fully pledged amount for RPTTF non-admin housing, and we placed it into fund balance to spend in future years. In this year, because our 2021 projects are fully funded, we're not requesting the pledged amount, and there are no negative impacts because, our 2021 program is fully funded. So at a high level, you can see that the distribution of our funds across sources remains consistent with the current year, with the majority coming from RPTTF non-admin and bond proceeds. So this table shows our $422.2 million request by use type. The majority of our funds will be spent on debt service and affordable housing, and we'll go into each of these in greater detail throughout the presentation. So here we have a year-over-year comparison to the ROPS 1920. Again, we have a decrease of $23.6 million, primarily due to the decrease in affordable housing and in our project areas. Some of the other changes you might see are the debt service. We have an expected $6.6 million decrease according to our debt service schedule, and we have an increase in our operating costs. And this is largely driven by our retiree health and pension costs and our increase in our COLA. This table pulls out the RPTTF portion of our request by use type. The total RPTTF portion is $189.8 million. The majority of which will be spent on debt service and in Mission Bay. This table provides a comparison, another year-over-year comparison to our 1920 ROPS. We're requesting a decrease of $14.3 million in the RPTTF portion, largely due to the reduction in our pledged RPTTF non-admin for housing and the planned decrease in our debt service schedule. And with that, I turn it over to the project managers to discuss their portions.
Thank you, Mina. Hello and good afternoon, Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales, and Commissioners. My name is Annie Wong. I am a development specialist on the affordable housing team at OCII, and today I will be giving you a brief overview of the ROPS funding we are requesting for Housing's Work Program in fiscal year 2021. In ROPS 2021, we are requesting funding authority just shy of $110 million, the majority of which, as you can see, will be going towards roughly $89 million in gap loans for two affordable housing projects. The primary sources of funds will be bond proceeds at $95.3 million, and the rest will come in other funds, such as developer fees and non-admin RPTTF. The funding authority requested will go to support OCI's standalone affordable housing projects across our three project areas, with the majority of funding going towards Hunters Point Shipyard Candlestick Point project at $56.3 million and Mission Bay at $46.4 million to help fund pre-development and gap loans in each of these project areas. The remaining funds will be used towards pre-development funding for two projects in Transbay. Here's a breakdown of the individual housing projects that ROBS 2021 will be funding. As you can see, the two largest expenditures here are $50 million in pre-development and gap loan funding for Hunters Point Shipyard Block 5254, which is a 100% affordable 112-unit rental project, and $38.9 million in gap loan funding for Mission Bay South Block 9, a 141-unit affordable rental project for formerly homeless adults in the Mission Bay neighborhood. Additional funds include $3.5 million in pre-development funding for Hunters Point Shipyard Block 56, $1.2 million in ongoing pre-development funding for Candlestick Point South Block 11A, $1.6 million in ongoing pre-development loans for Candlestick Point North Block 10A, $3.5 million in pre-development funding for Mission Bay South Block 9A, $4 million in pre-development funding for Mission Bay South Block 12 West, and $3.5 million in pre-development funds for each of the Transbay blocks at Blocks 2 East and 2 West. In total, the $110 million in funding authority will go to support the development of 1,218 units in ROBS 2021. So to put it another way, here's the breakdown of the number of units in each project area that ROBS 2021 will go to support. $7 million in funding will go to support 250 units in development in Transbay. The $46.4 million in Mission Bay will go to support 454 units in development. And $56.3 million will go to support 514 units in the Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick Point project. And with that, I will turn it over to the Mission Bay team to go over their work program for ROBS 2021.
Good afternoon, Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales, Commissioners, and Director Sisse. As Annie mentioned, I work on the Mission Bay team at OCII, and my name is Gretchen Heckman. So this slide just very quickly shows some of the active projects in Mission Bay right now. The Chase Center, which opened this last September, OCII's Bayfront Park across the street from the Chase Center, and Soma Hotel and Uber's headquarters on 3rd Street, both of which are now finishing construction in various stages. So here is our table of sources and uses for Mission Bay for fiscal year 20 through 21, organized by source type. As you can see, the largest portion of funds will go towards infrastructure and payment towards an outstanding bond principal. There are also funds for professional services, including consultant fees for reviewing infrastructure reimbursements and projected legal and consulting fees to support OCII staff in executing an increase in entitlement of affordable housing units. Lastly, there are funds shown for the Mission Bay Art Program, which follows the citywide 1% development impact fee structure. This slide provides a sense of what the funds will be spent on in fiscal year 20 through 21. The infrastructure spending program is comprised of the construction of new parks and maintenance of existing parks, the construction of a pump station, and remaining work on public streets. Notably, the master developer in Mission Bay will be working on Bayfront Park, what we call P22, across the street from the Chase Center, which should be finished before the end of this calendar year. As mentioned earlier, we plan to pay down the principal on one of our community facility district bonds for Mission Bay North. We will utilize consultant services, as we have in the past, for reimbursements on infrastructure, as well as looking at an entitlement increase for affordable housing for the remaining agency parcels in Mission Bay South. And we will also continue to carry out our public art program. That concludes the overview of Mission Bay ROPS, and I'll now pass it to the Transbay team to speak about their budget.
Good afternoon, Chair Bustos, Vice Chair Rosales, Commissioners, and Executive Director Sisse. I'm Ben Brandon, the Transbay Project or Transbay Development Specialist. And let's see, do we have it up? Okay, there we go. This is a schematic rendering of the Transbay Redevelopment Project area, and this is what it would look like at full build out. And I'm pleased to report that much of this has come to fruition or is continuing underway. In the upcoming fiscal year, we're requesting authority for a total of $52.4 million of activity in the Transbay project area. Aside from the $24 million pledge amount, the bulk of the work plan in the area is for infrastructure development. And excluding the TJPA pledge, which is being covered by RPTTF dollars, the primary sources that we're using or requesting are for bond proceeds, other funds, which are comprised of parks and developer fees, with the third source being RPTTF. And this slide is a overview of our work program for the fiscal year. The primary activities include completion of the Folsom Street Improvement Project, advancing the development and design of the Transbay Park and Underramp Park projects, and seeking project approvals for Transbay Block 4, which is a mixed-use housing development. A brief overview of the work program details includes that $27.6 million in infrastructure spending authority is being requested, which would be used for $9 million for construction administration of the Folsom Street Improvement Project, just over $13 million for design and engineering costs related to Underramp Park and Transbay Park, and then $5.5 million for streetscape improvement reimbursements, which are required in our development agreements for three of our vertical developments. We're also requesting authority for nearly $1 million for professional services contracts, with the balance going to the TJPA pledge. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick Point teams. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioner. Sally Orth, Deputy Director. I'm here on behalf of Lila Hussein, Senior Project Manager, who is out of the office today. So I will do my best to represent her project as best as I can. So the beginning slide here is the same image that you've seen through a number of recent approvals for this project. We have both the Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 1 project and then the Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 2 / Candlestick Point project. And overall, the budget for 2021 is approximately $17 million. The primary source continues to be developer reimbursement through the other column there, as you can see. And again, as we have been doing in recent years, the majority of the work really revolves around the many different staff within the city and OCII who work to review permits, designs, and other things to move these projects forward. And that detail can be seen on the next slide. The work program for the upcoming year includes helping Lennar facilitate the completion of public parks, about seven public parks in Shipyard Phase 1, bringing some designs to you for some additional development blocks in Shipyard Phase 1. As you are aware, in the fall, the Commission approved the redesign of what was the Candlestick Retail Center site into the proposed mixed-use development. And now we really get into the detailed work of infrastructure plans and permits and further design. So there'll be a lot of time working with city agencies to review those detailed proposals. The community benefits agreement still will be implemented. You'll be getting a more detailed update next month, I believe, at a Commission workshop. But we will continue that work and, again, be involved as best we can with the ongoing work with the Navy and Hunters Point Shipyard Phase 2. Slightly more detail breaks out for you the differences between things that are purely Phase 1 and purely Phase 2, and then there are things that sort of spread across the both. Again, most of the infrastructure costs actually relate to OCII and city staff time reviewing plans and permits. We have additional professional services costs that are more specifically targeting financial consulting services, legal services, and other as-needed engineering consulting services. The community benefits budget has $2.4 million in fund balance that would be allocated over time. As I think you've heard over the years through the workshops and reports, we work closely with the Legacy Foundation to program and per their strategic plan, so we continue to do that work. And again, have an ongoing relationship with the Navy where we'll be making required lease payments. And that concludes the overview for Hunters Point Shipyard and Candlestick Point.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. I'm Hildy Mile, Manager of the Development Services Division at OCII. In 2021, the asset management portion of OCII's work plan includes the management of ongoing obligations outside the three major development project areas. So the asset management sources by uses that you see include $7.8 million. Those funds are the remaining balance of grant funds under the 2010 grant agreement for the Mexican Museum's tenant improvements at the 706 Mission Project in Yerba Buena. That's the largest expenditure related to asset management. The other activity of asset management is the implementation of the agency's long-range property management plan. The ROPS authority in that regard for those activities is rolled up into the operations lines of the ROPS that Mina's already covered. Activities under that include continuing to dispose of properties that the agency has or will have subject to completion of obligations in the major approved project areas. All right, I'll hand it back to Mina. Thank you.
So we will spend $111.9 million on our bond portfolio, largely to pay debt service on our existing bonds. We have some other debt payments, including a $4.5 million payment for the hotel occupancy tax refunding. We have $1.8 for the low and moderate income housing fund repayment, and we're spending $9.6 on excess bond proceeds for the ferry landing terminal by the Mission Bay project area, for which we received oversight board approval in September of 2018. So our operating budget is $23.2 million, the majority of which will be funded by RPTTF non-admin, followed by other funds, which are developer payments. We have our RPTTF admin, the $4.5 million, which again is set by formula, and that will fund the administrative costs not directly related to our enforceable obligations. So our uses are spread amongst our salaries and benefits, non-labor, and retiree health and pension. So 10.2 of the 23.2 million operating budget will be spent on existing staff salaries and benefits. This covers 54 FTE positions, which is no change from our prior year ROPS. This includes a COLA approved by our commission in our MOUs. We also have 6.4 in non-labor costs and 6.5 in retiree obligations. So that includes pension and health benefits for current retirees and additional payments towards our accrued pension and retiree health liabilities. So of the 6.4 in our non-labor costs, the majority of this will be spent on work orders with our city department partners. This is the largest portion, again, of our non-labor budget. We also have professional services, IT and software, other current expenses, insurance, and legal services. And this is general legal services. The legal services for our projects are embedded in the project budgets. So of that $3.7 million of our work orders, the majority of this, or the largest portion of $1.5 is spent on the work order with MOCD for affordable housing services. So again, the RPTTF admin is set by formula. This is the administrative cost allowance. That is 3% of the actual property tax distribution in the prior year, less the prior year's RPTTF non-admin. So the table lays out that calculation, and so you can see our 2021 RPTTF admin is 4.5. This next table shows the changes in our ROPS lines. So you can see we're retiring a total of 17 lines. This largely reflects transfers of property and completion of projects, and we have no new line requests in 2021. So just a reminder of where we are in the process, we presented this workshop to the Oversight Board last week. We're here before you presenting the workshop. We'll go back to the Oversight Board for their approval next Monday and submit our ROPS to the Department of Finance by February 1st. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you. Madam Secretary, do you have any speaker cards on this?
No speaker cards, Mr. Chair.
Is there anybody here wishing to speak on this item? Seeing none, hearing none, I'll close public comment and turn to my fellow commissioners for any questions or comments. This is not an action item, so this is an opportunity to get some comments out.
Just a question, Mina, could you explain to me the and define the RPTTF? That was the only thing I could not figure out what that meant.
Yeah, so the RPTTF, it stands for our Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund, and this is just the, our funding source basically comes from property tax increment in our various project areas. So those funds are pulled into this terminology of RPTTF, but it's basically what our property tax increment funding.
Okay, so say it once more, the redevelopment?
Redevelopment Property Tax Trust Fund.
Thank you,
yeah.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's also in the first slide in our funding.
Thank you so much. Yeah. I missed it. Sorry.
Thank you. Any other questions? Rachel Rosales.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Chair Bustos. I have a couple of questions. The TJPA pledge, I couldn't figure out real quick, is that a set amount or is it a calculated amount or based on some formula?
It's a calculated amount, so it's for all of our project areas, our three primary project areas, we have our pledge, which is the property tax increment that is governed by a contractual agreement between OCII and the developer. And so of that property tax increment generated in the project area, the gross increment is 1% of the total increment, and off of that, 20% goes to housing, and the remainder goes to infrastructure. So this formula, this calculation is consistent across our project areas, but with TJPA, it's pretty much a pass-through. So we collect those funds and then pass it on.
Okay. So that figure could change, though?
It does change based on the gross property tax increment.
So is this a high figure comparatively to prior years?
Or
low figure? I would hope it was going up.
It is higher than the previous year. Okay. And typically we do expect our property tax to increase over time. Sure. So it is higher than the previous year. Yes.
That makes sense. Then on the budget for the OEWD,
yes.
I wanted to know whether the custom census scope that we've talked about.
Sure, I'll let Ray Lee take that.
Of course, Mr. Lee knew I was going to ask that. I don't forget.
No, you don't.
Raymond Lee, Contract Compliance Supervisor. We have submitted a work request with OEWD in terms of a scope of work, and we have not gotten a formal response yet, but the initial response is that a meta study might make more sense with the American Community Service. I think it was the ACS, American Community Survey, which does break down employment and unemployment by zip codes.
Oh, okay.
Granted, that is a survey as opposed to natural census.
Okay, and so is the dollar, the cost essentially of performing that service included within this figure of 0.3
yes.
million? Oh, okay, good. So we have enough to cover that expense.
That's correct.
Okay. And so my last question is on the FTE count, are these positions that are not just budgeted, but are they currently filled? Do we have room for?
These are for our currently budgeted positions. They are not all filled. Yeah.
So there's
room. We have some.
There's room.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair Rosales. Excellent questions. Anybody else? All right. Well, this was a workshop, and really appreciate all the staff. I almost felt like speed dating. It was like happening so quickly, but you were very efficient, and we liked that. So
we knew the time.
So appreciate your efficiency and hard work on this. Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 6, public comment on non-agenda items. We have no speaker cards for this item, Mr. Chair.
Is there anybody here wishing to speak on public comment? Seeing none and hearing none, Madam Secretary, please call the next item.
The next order of business is item 7, report of the chair.
There's no report.
The next order of business is item 8, report of the Executive Director. Madam Director.
Thank you, through the Chair. This item, wanted to just talk about the housing, Hunters Point Shipyard testing report. Wanted to note that on January 17th, on Friday, the Mayor, the Supervisor Walton, and City Attorney Dennis Herrera received the findings report from UCSF and UC Berkeley regarding the review of the appropriateness of the testing protocols for parcels A and G at Hunters Point Shipyard. The report concluded that the California Department of Public Health's health and safety scan on parcel A was appropriate. And they also further concluded that the Navy's partial work plan and proposed procedures for retesting parcel G was appropriate so long as EPA continues to review the plan and do the oversight they're required to do. It further recommends that any determination as to appropriate development on parcel G cannot be made until all the retesting data is available for review. Supervisor Sherman Walton will be hosting a community meeting next week at on Tuesday, January 28th at 7 p.m. at 451 Galvez, and UC Berkeley and UC SF experts will be available to respond, give an overview and respond to questions. So more to come on that. There is definitely also, just for the record, parcel A resident private meeting that's also happening this week. I also want to note Avery Lane, a favorite Block 8, has its grand opening end of this month. It's a mixed-income, transit-oriented development in Trans Bay Project area, total 548 residential units, 7,000 neighborhood retail. Yes, I know we all had robust conversations about the retail space here. There's the podium, 80 units of 100% affordable OCI units, and then they have, there's a market rate with inclusionary housing, 70 out of the 350, and then there's the market rate condo ownership of 118 market rate units. So we did have some COP applicants, two got in, one was waitlisted and one was rejected, and then we also had seven COP residents that applied for the inclusionary, but none, six did not follow up, one was over income. But hope to see you all there. I'm sure there were, we had provided all these marketing outcome reports to the commission at a prior date. Hope to see you all. If you haven't received invitations, let us know, but we know invitations have gone out to the commissioners as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Director.
The next order of business is item 9, commissioners' questions and matters. Mr. Chair.
Is there any questions or nothing? All right. Next item, please.
The next order of business is item 10, closed session. Item 8, under California Government Code Section 54956.9, conference with legal counsel for existing litigation, Schifferaw versus City and County of San Francisco et al., number C18-6830 SBA, Northern District of California, complaint filed November 9, 2018. Item B, under California Government Code Section 54956.9, conference with legal counsel for existing litigation, City and County of San Francisco versus Michael E. Johnson, number CGC18-568954, Superior Court, SF San Francisco City and County, complaint filed August 16, 2018.
Great, thank you. Madam Secretary, do we have any speaker cards?
No speaker cards for this item.
So we do have Vice Chair Rosales who would like to speak about this.
Yes, I need to disclose on the record before we go into closed session that I have a personal and business relationship with the defense counsel in the second matter, the defense counsel representing Michael Johnson.
Great, thank you. I'd like to ask anybody who's not directly involved with this matter to please leave the room. Madam Secretary, if we can go into closed session. All right, members of the public, we are reconvening after closed sessions. There was no action to this closed session that we just had. So the next order of business, Madam Secretary.
Thank you. The next order of business is item 11, adjournment. Mr. Chair.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
That the meeting be adjourned.
I second that motion.
Okay, we got a motion and we got a second.
Thank you.
Meeting's over at 2:40 p.m. Thank you very much. Ooh.